Hey guys, this is Andrew from Things I Want to Know. If you like the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating. Don't really know why this is important, but it is, so let's get the voice out. Also, don't forget to check out the podcast Paul G's Corner, a podcast where everyone gets a voice.
Fido. Mittens. You know who I'm talking about. The precious animals you come home to after a hard day's work, and they're there to greet you. As long as it's a cat, they don't really care. But the dogs love you. At least I think so. But when they're gone, what happens to them? Today's podcast is Rob Guttrow, one of the world's leaders in pet mediumship. Rob, how are you doing today?
Hi, Paul. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, you've got some interesting things to tell us about today. I'm a little bit dumbfounded in what I'm going to ask. I'm just like curious to know what your take is on this stuff, because you are a pet medium.
I am. That means that I have the ability to communicate with pets and people actually who passed away.
So, well, my question is, do you speak dog fluently?
I can bark.
I actually speak dog. Andrea didn't believe it, but when I first met her dogs, what's the first thing I did when I met Pluto, your out of control Labrador?
Well, you pretty much got him to just.
What did I do though?
Well, you kind of pushed his nose to the ground, and I forget what you.
I jumped on him.
Yeah.
And I squished him to the ground, didn't I?
Yeah,
to show. Because he was running around like crazy.
You were showing dominance, I think you explained.
Yeah, and you know, I speak dog. Cat, I don't speak. Cats are like, hey, guess what? I'm like, what? Fuck you. That's what cats do.
Oh, I have lots of cats, and they love you, Paul.
Not all of them.
Well, cats are.
You call one of your cats a demon cat.
Well, his name is Church.
But no one is going to understand. They're going to think, oh, how religious of you.
No, he's named after Church off Pet Cemetery. He acts like him.
Oh, my goodness.
He's gray. My youngest is the only one he'll listen to. And he's just, for lack of a better term, sometimes an asshole. I mean, yes. He's a sweet cat, but he's kind of like the cat on the movie. So that's why he's got his name Church.
So, anyway, back to business here. We got to cover this. Rob, is it okay if I could just call you Rob, right?
Yeah, please do.
All right. So, Rob, you have tons of literature out there. Can just let us know a little bit about your expertise and your history.
Sure. So when I was 13 years old, I got kind of a scare, a big scare, because my deceased grandfather decided to show up with me. In full color. I was the only one home with the family dog, and it scared the life out of me. So after running out of the house, waiting for my parents to come home, I explained it to my mom and dad. I had a great relationship with them, which was really good. My mother wound up telling me that she had the ability. My grandfather had the ability. So it ran in the family. So I became less startled by it, but I shelved it as I went on through life trying to accomplish things. Long story short, 2005, I had a puppy. Name is Buzz. He died tragically from a car accident when his leash opened. And Buzz reawakened my ability to communicate, but communicate with pets for the first time. And from there, I learned how animals communicate. Domesticated animals can communicate with mediums and with you as a pet owner. So the books that I've written, Pets in the Afterlife series, explain to you and teach you how pets communicate from the afterlife.
So is there any case whenever the pet's like not happy about their life that they had, and they're just like, you know, trying to claw at the we've been watching a lot of horror movies the past couple of days.
Yeah, we have.
So you've got books out now. Which one are your books?
So I have three series of books, Paul, and the first series is Pets in the Afterlife, and really they're all about how pets communicate from the other side, and they teach people who lost pets so that it will help with their grieving process.
It's always good because sometimes people don't understand how much that animal meant to them until it's gone, and they're like just devastated. And it's not like, you know, you had a cow Bessie out there that you put in the milking machine every morning. It's, you know, they sleep in the bed with you and stuff. So,
sure. That brings up a good point. I'll go back to that in a second. The other two series of books that I have are Ghosts and Spirits, which is about paranormal investigations I've been on and hauntings and how spirits of your loved ones communicate, like your grandfather or your mother or whoever passed. I teach you that. And then I have another series called Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation. Whenever I go on vacation, the dead people don't stop talking to me.
It's like, leave me alone, man. I'm trying to have a Mai Tai. Yeah,
exactly.
So where can your books be found? Is there a direct website they can get it from, or?
They could just go to Amazon. I have a weird last name. It's kind of a massacred French name. So yeah, if you put in Gutro, you can find me there.
Gutro.
Yes, I have 9 books. Gutro, yeah.
Gutro.
My 10th book is actually coming out. I'm proud to announce this on your podcast.
That nice.
Pets in the Afterlife 4 is now officially coming out January 10th, 2023. Oh. And it's all about cats. Uh-oh. Messages from spirit cats.
You're piquing Andrea's interest now.
That's for Andrea.
I have lots of cats.
You have enough cats where you qualify as a cat rancher.
I live in the country and people like to dump their pets, and really adoption for animals is difficult. So I more or less keep them and try to find them homes, but it's not always successful.
Thank you, Andrea.
I have a very good solution for that.
No.
Okay.
Like, it's to the point that Paul's like sending me snippets of like outdoor cat homes that we can have for them to stay outside. I have a soft heart for pets, and mm-hmm. You know,
if you want to donate to Andrea's cat fund,
we give them all names, and it turns out it's a lot of black cats I seem to have. So, yeah.
So we named the last bunch. What was the names we put on them? You got
Clarice, which is this is a horror theme, I guess, here. Yes. For Hannibal, yes. Lecter series, and then the other cat's named Hannibal.
Yeah, and he's a little bitty kitten.
Yeah,
little gray one.
But yeah, I just have a soft spot for cats.
But your books have done pretty well, haven't they?
Yes, thank you. So I'm really humbled to say that all of them have reached bestseller status, which means they've gone into the top 100 of Amazon. And I've had 2 number one books in the last two releases, and one of them won the International Book Award for 2 years in a row.
Nice.
In the Afterlife 3 about spirit dogs, which was number 3.
Spirit dogs.
Well, congrats. Yeah.
Is that the Saint Bernard that carries the deal full of whiskey whenever you're in the snow?
No, that's the only one for you. That's
okay. I mean, it's a spirit dog. I'm just saying.
So how do you talk to these pets in the afterlife? Do they just come up to you and be like, hey, I got something to say? Or is it just a feeling? Do you see them? I guess I want to know, how does this work?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of aspects to this. So first of all, for those, for anybody who doesn't know who I am, in my day job, I'm actually a meteorologist. So I'm a scientist.
Are you on TV?
No, I have a face for radio.
Okay. That's all right.
So I'm not on TV. But
so I used to work for an ABC affiliate, so I know quite a few meteorologists. Some of them are quite crazy, and some of them are just normal people.
Yeah, some are crazy.
Darby Bybee, who works at the local Fayetteville office for 4029, which is a Hearst affiliate for ABC. I worked with him for 5 years, and when it snows, that dude loses his mind. He is so happy. He's like, oh my God, it's going to snow. It's going to have bad weather. Ah! And it's like, Darby, man, geez, take a Could hear, have some booze or something. Calm down. He loves when the weather gets bad. I'm like, just move to Anchorage and you'll be happy for the rest of your life.
Exactly. I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. So as a scientist, I have to explain how this all works. And I use that with the science of energy. The law of conservation of energy states that energy can't be destroyed. It can only be transformed. So the physical energies that we have, like cell splitting, like thoughts that are little electrical impulses, those combine with our memories, our personality, and the knowledge of this life. And then we make a choice after we die. We can choose to stay here, earthbound. That's what I call a ghost. Or we can cross over into the light, the other side, heaven, Valhalla, whatever you want to call it. And I call that a spirit.
So Stovacor.
Two different.
The Klingon energy. Guys will understand that one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But it's all about location.
I apologize. I derail the conversations quite regularly, so it's my fault. So we had one guy on that he was very adamant that he was the only one that could do this, but you're doing the same thing as he was doing.
I don't think he talked to pets though, but
he didn't talk to pets, but I don't understand how he could be the only one when there's hundreds of people out there thousands of people out there that claim this. So what makes you different than say the next guy? Andrea and I need your help. If you like our episodes, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Not sure exactly how that helps us, but it does, and it makes people want to listen. When they see that 5 stars and a good review from you, so go to wherever you're listening to your podcast, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever, and hit that 5 stars.
I think because I'm a scientist, the scientific community really doesn't look favorably upon the paranormal.
Right.
And I have explanations, scientific explanations, that explain how things happen in paranormal. So
I'd like to hear a little bit about that.
Okay. Have you ever heard about cold spots whenever there's a ghost or a spirit?
I've heard of it. I've never experienced it. Just for the record, if I'm going to assume that all this is true, I'm not going to be a naysayer about it. But if it's true, since it is true, just trying to be open-minded here, I must be a cleanser, what they call a cleanser, I guess, in some circles. When I walk into a room, all the spirits leave. Because there's nobody can ever experience anything. I don't know if it's a force of personality. My mind is just too large. My personality is too large. What, I don't know. Maybe I've got somebody on my shoulder that I don't know I have. I don't know. But it's like everything leaves and nobody can operate when they're in the same room with me. Over the air like this, it's different because you're not in the room with me. But for some reason, I like clear the houses whenever I walk into them.
I don't know. I've experienced cold spots and I've experienced a few things.
Okay. I have never really. So I've never done it. I don't understand why it's so much of a different experience for me than everybody else.
So I can explain. I think I can explain that, Paul, is that you actually radiate positive emotional energy because there's a lot of optimism radiating from you. I can feel it. So ghosts, earthbound ghosts, radiate negative emotional energy. Spirits who crossed over radiate positive emotional energy. So whenever ghosts run into a positive, it's like a magnet. They repel.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's why you can clear out a room of negativity. As for cold spots, though, the scientific explanation that I have come up with is that because ghosts and spirits draw on energy to get strong enough to communicate, they draw on heat, light, water, and electricity. That powers them up. Or ghosts draw on negative emotions like fear, anxiety, and depression and anger, while spirits draw on faith, hope, and love. Now, the cold spots happen because a ghost, earthbound, or a spirit of a loved one who wants to come visit you from the other side take the energy of the motion of air molecules. They absorb that motion of air molecules, energy. And what happens is they slow the air molecules down. So fast-moving molecules of air are warm air. Slower-moving molecules of air are cooler air.
That's right. So
cooler air in a column when a ghost or a spirit is trying to materialize next to you.
Yeah, and that's what I was like, oh, I see where he's going. He's like, he's everything, because the energy has been absorbed, then the only thing left is to become cold, because the only reason why air is even warm is because of a few other factors, but also because there's friction between the molecules. That's why your blood pressure, that's why if you have high blood pressure, sometimes you're, what, a little bit, run a little bit warmer?
It depends. If you're hypertensive, you get dizzy and sweaty, and if you're hypotensive, you're slower and sluggish.
Yeah, and if you're hypotensive, it's because your body temperature's down.
Yeah, you get dizzy both ways, but
you get colder, and your body tries to compensate by probably, you know, it's got to do friction somehow.
It tries to keep you alive, internal core, depending on how low you are.
It's got to be friction though. I mean, how else does the body make the heat? That's what I mean. I've never read a literature in any journal or white paper where they talk about how the body generates the heat to cause a fever. How does it actually generate the heat and make it hotter?
It's your immune system triggering to fight off whatever it is that you're sick.
Right, but the heat's got to be generated from somewhere. So wouldn't that be?
It speeds up your metabolic processes.
Yeah, it'd have to be through friction. I mean, how else could it do it? The muscles create friction when you lift, so they get hot.
Yeah.
Right? Sorry, tangent. Can't help it.
So, out of curiosity, say you have, do these ghosts just want to visit when they want to visit? Do they just kind of visit when they want to tell you something? The reason why I ask is because when my father passed, for a couple weeks after he passed, I could smell the cologne that I used to get him every year for Christmas.
Perfect.
And I'd get cold spots. And then I haven't had that experience in, gosh, several years. But... Mm-hmm. You know, I would try to talk about it to people and they'd explain, oh, you had a really, like, I had a really traumatic event the day before his funeral, is I swear I saw him in a hotel room looking down on me in the pool, and I flipped out more or less in the hotel and demanded that they take me in that room. And when I went in that room, it was freezing cold. Guy's like, well, we're going to have to check the thermostat, and they were honestly going to call the hospital and have me take it in because I was losing my, I just lost my dad. So I was losing my mind. So took a friend from Texas to kind of explain, like, hey, she's just lost her father. This is really bad. But I swear it was freezing in there.
So Andrew, you've just explained exactly what happened. So it's apparent to me that your dad did materialize there, creating a cold spot, cooling the room off so that you could see him. And that was his way of letting you know that he's okay. A couple of quick things that I'll unwrap there. Number one, ghosts, when people decide to stay earthbound as ghosts, and only 5% of people really stay earthbound as ghosts because they're usually afraid to cross over or they have other reasons. They can only affect you if you go into the dwelling in which they chose to stay. So other spirits can go anywhere, anytime. So your dad obviously crossed over because he was able to appear in that hotel. You asked about ways that pets communicate from the other side to their parents. One is making visible appearances like your dad did. The other one is making scent appearances like your dad did with his cologne. Told me that she smelled her dog, a wet dog, a month or two after her dog passed away, and her dog used to like to go into the pond behind her house. So she knew her dog was visiting from the other side. So everything that you just told me is your dad appearing to you. And usually spirits will appear to us in the first month or two after they passed, just to let us know they're okay. After we know and we acknowledge that they are okay, the messages only come on birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays.
Okay. Makes sense. I mean, I haven't really experienced anything after that, but then again, I really haven't been closely paying attention either, unless it's flat out obvious, you know, like the smelling of the perfume or cologne, excuse me, or something like that, you know, but I just know that I had the doctors tell me it's okay. You just went through a traumatic event. Your mind is playing tricks on you. And I'm like, no, I swear he was in that room. So always been curious if it's true or not, because it was very sudden death. So it was not a whole lot of chance to really, you know what I mean? When someone's passing on or on hospice or something like that, the family has time to prepare and, you know, accept and that kind of thing. This was so sudden that it was out of the blue. So,
you know, it just dawned on me that I have not experienced loss on that scale.
No, you probably, no, I guess you haven't yet.
I haven't. My mother and father's still alive. My grandmother died, but, you know, I went and saw her and she's like, look, I'm going to get my hip replaced or they're going to kill me. And she died. But so there was no, you know, she already told me she's going to be okay either way.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to come back and talk to me. And then my mom's mother, she was 102, you know, wow. She might just show up and say, hey, and I wouldn't even notice, you know, because I'm frantic half the time. But, you know, so I've never really experienced that kind of abrupt loss.
So, Paul and Andrea, have either one of you ever dreamt of a loved one that passed?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so, well, dreams are the easiest way for spirits to communicate.
And again, I have never had a loved one that has passed that wasn't expected. So,
what about a pet, Paul?
Maybe it would have been 30, 25 years ago, and I don't, and I would have just dismissed it and not remembered it. So maybe I can't say that I have, but I can't say that I haven't because it's not logged in my brain.
What about children that have passed?
Yeah, they do the same thing. They come through usually within the first month or two. Mostly they do the dream route. And the reason that spirits are able to come through in our dreams is that when we're awake, we are taught to think logically. And by being logical thinkers, we explain things away as much as we can.
That's true. That makes sense.
That's me.
Yes, that's you.
So children, living children who reportedly see ghosts or invisible playmates are actually seeing spirits who are visiting, or if they are unfortunately living in a house that's haunted by an earthbound ghost, they're seeing those. And I've done a number of clearings of houses where children have seen ghosts who have pulled their sheets off, who have touched them, who have appeared as shadow figures, who have scared the daylights out of these poor kids. And as a paranormal investigator, I go in as a medium with another medium and a team, and we help cross these ghosts over so that they're no longer haunting the house.
How do you know they want to be crossed over, though?
That's a really good question, Paul. Typically, once a ghost stays in a certain place for a while, they see all the changes that transpire around their house.
They
know that time is passing, although they can't figure out time is not relevant on the other side. And then they realize that they can only talk to people who are mediums. And how often do you think a medium is going to walk into a house?
True.
Yeah, you especially know? If I'm around, because I'm just an extra large. Sorry.
But I love it. I used to call myself a medium rare when I was starting out.
So the reason why I ask about the child thing is I had a daughter that passed it at birth.
Oh my gosh.
And so after her death, it was, I had another child in the NICU. They were twins. It was just a really, really rough time.
How would you know? I mean, you never got to know their personality.
Well, the only thing I remember having, like, for God, 6 months afterwards, my grandmother holding her in a dream. And that's, she would just sit there. I'm sitting up in bed, kind of like they show in the movies, but it was like in my head. And I'm sitting up and she's just holding her, and that was it. And it really got to the point where it was starting to kind of upset me, because I was like, I have a kid. I got to move forward. This really was hard on me. So, but then the dream just abruptly stopped. But it was really spooky because it felt so real.
See, I guess I just don't give enough stock to that kind of stuff. Maybe it's my too many years of psychology study of the human psyche. Maybe that is what causes me not to be able to equate things, because I'm looking for the book solution to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice every now and then that these people that I've like had passed away to just all of a sudden like to get to talk to them again, even if it's in a dream and it's in my head, it would be kind of nice.
So you can. So your grandmother's appearance of showing you that she was comforting the baby that you lost is her way of acknowledging that the baby is safe on the other side. and that you have nothing to worry about.
Makes sense.
The other issue too is that usually when children pass away, even even people who lose a baby before the baby's born, that spirit of that child often appears to me or me other mediums as a full grown person, either as a child, like a 5 or 10 year old, or an adult, because that's the way their spirit was before they. Just before they made the determination to come down here. And they all tell me, and other mediums, that they've come for a reason. We don't understand it because it's really traumatic for us, but it's something that we need to know. So Paul, eventually, and I hate to, I don't want to sound negative, but eventually you will likely experience something like this.
I mean, my dad's got one artery left, and he's been in and out of the hospital the past 6 months, like over and over and over again. So eventually something like it's going to happen. But again, it's one of those things he does not want to lose, to stop living. But we all know it's inevitable too. So
what is inevitable for all of us? I mean, really?
Well, yeah, but his is closer than yours.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
If anybody's going to come back to see you, it'd probably be him, because he's just a very stubborn man.
Oh, God. He'll just come back and say, it's your fault. You broke it. It's like, no, you drove that car for 20 years. Sorry, that's a little childhood trauma coming back.
No, I hear you. So that actually goes back to your initial question about crossing them over. If people don't want to cross over, then they won't. But often they do. And the way we do that is we combine there's a bunch of people on our team, the Inspired Ghost Tracking Team of Maryland. So we have to combine our emotional energies and our thoughts to open what's called a portal, a doorway, to the other side, and call in their loved ones from the other side to convince them to cross over. It happened with a burn victim who was haunting a nurse in a paranormal investigation that we went on.
Ooh.
The nurse did not know who it was, that she just saw a shadow figure. This is, I forget what book this is in, but we were called to a home where there was a couple of things going on. This family of four, mom, dad, daughter, young son, had a dog that had passed away in June. And we were called into the house, I think in September. The parents contacted our team and said they think the dog is walking around, but there's something else happening. There's something darker in their bedroom. So I took my dog, Dolly, who's a Weimaraner, on the investigation. And Dolly figured out it was the dog, because when I let her in, she went. And after I let her go, she went exactly up the same way their dog used to go when their dog would come in. Ran up the stairs, went to the first bedroom on the right, and sat and stared at the little boy's bedroom. And that's the way their dog used to come in the house every day. Hmm. So Dolly was following the dog, and Dolly confirmed that for me.
Interesting. So how do you know if they have, I mean, if a pet's coming back to see you, is it messages? Do they just want to hang out with you?
They just really want to let us know that they're okay on the other side. And they miss us just like we miss them in the physical. Whenever I do readings, they tell me that. So when I do readings, all it takes for me to do a reading, I do them all by email, is I ask for a picture of the pet, the pet's name, and any questions they may have, and the number of people in the house. If there's kids usually want to hear from their dog or cat that's on the other side. So pets will show me in a whole bunch of things. They'll show me their favorite place. They may share a couple of favorite memories. They will always usually share the way they passed, like whatever pain they experienced before they passed. Which is interesting, because when I'm talking about I'm writing and I'm talking about my right rear leg, I only have two legs. I'm telling people that my right rear leg, it had arthritis in it and it was hard to get up with it. And they understand that, it's, it's the dog speaking.
Interesting. So is there more of do they ever bring warnings for the future or something like that too?
So no, they don't talk about the future.
Okay.
Except they will lead you to another pet that looks like them so that you'll know that they're around. You may see them as a shadow, a quick moving shadow in your house. You could hear a bark or a meow, which sounds like another, it's come from another room. Often people report
you would miss that completely, Andrea.
Why?
Meow. I mean, it's a random meow coming from the other room. It'd be like, nah, it's a cat.
Yeah, too many cats, right?
Yeah, I'd probably miss it. You got a point there.
Yeah. I've talked to people where cats who have passed have walked on the end of someone's bed. I've done readings where I've told people that their cat in spirit will be laying against their head or pawing their hair at night, and everybody confirms everything that I say. And this, to me, it's crazy because I'm not a cat dad. I'm a dog dad. So I don't know really cat behavior other than what cats who have passed away tell me.
Yeah. Cat behavior is strange.
I mean, if you've ever had cats go be like, man, I hated my owners. They were absolutely awful. I just wanted to be outside.
They probably wouldn't come back. They'd be like, why would I'm not going back there. Screw that.
If there's food, cats will return.
That's true. Well, cats will eat you if you die and they don't have anything to eat after 3 days. They will eat your corpse. You can look that up.
Yeah.
Somebody's been watching Pet Sematary.
No, it's actually true. If there's tons of reports about, if you go back and look at some people, some of these reports, it's usually just a natural death where they died in a heart attack or something like that, or stroke in the middle of the night. And they're old and they live alone. And so nobody's feeding the cats, and the cats start nibbling on the corpse because they don't have any food. It's actually a thing.
I used to be a coroner's assistant, so there's been a couple of cases.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do remember that was the situation, but it's a very haunting thing for our listeners to think that if they pass away, their cats are going to eat them.
They are going to eat you.
But he teases me.
I'm not wrong about it.
You know, cats do that little like kneading the bread thing.
They're just, all they're doing is tenderizing you, and they take turns at night. They say, it's your turn tonight.
Oh my gosh.
Tomorrow stop. I'll do it, but tonight it's your turn. I'm sitting by the heater.
Oh my God, Paul, stop.
I get to sit on the DVR tonight. It's hot there, and you get to do the kneading. I really don't care.
Oh my goodness.
I know. But if you ever encountered it where the pet's been like, most people treat their pets well, but I've always been curious if pets are like, I hate it here. I'm glad I'm not here.
Yeah, that's a good question. Often what I will get is a pet will tell me how they came from an abused household before they came to the house that they're in.
Ah, okay.
And they will share the abuse.
Bunsen's got
with some
me. Stories.
Because some pet parents who adopt, you know, older cats and dogs, like we have, we just adopted a 9-year-old Dachshund Terrier mix who was obviously badly abused.
Yeah.
So we're working.
I hate that. If you're out there and you're abusing your animal in whatever shape, form, or way.
Yeah, you're sick.
Send me your address so I can come over there and kick your ass. That's all I have to say.
It's a sickness. It really is.
I don't understand why people would hurt an animal. They don't care. They're just trying to be nice.
Our other I can share with you that we have a 14-year-old Dachshund Chihuahua mix. He's only 10 pounds.
Oh my gosh, that must be a handful.
He's cute. He's old. He's 14.
Her old Chihuahua used to try to bite me, but everybody else was like, "Oh no, he's gonna bite me!" And I'm like, "No, let him bite you." And they're like, "Why? He didn't have any teeth. He can't hurt you."
He was a very old Chihuahua.
But he ran the FedEx guy down one day.
Yeah.
This little guy, we work with rescues. We work with rescues who are 15 years volunteering, transporting, adopting, fostering, and so forth. And we were called to take this guy because there was no room to shelter.
Yeah.
The turn-in sheet of the family that turned him in, this really infuriated me. The mother said she let her 4-year-old daughter continually pull this dog's tail until he screamed over and over. And the dog finally bit the 4-year-old girl.
Well, no shit.
So the mother wrote in her turn-in form, "I kicked the dog across the room and we are done with him." And I'm like, well, why don't you just discipline your 4-year-old daughter instead, like a normal human
being? Yeah.
Instead of abusing a poor animal.
So your kid, because my kids can't do anything wrong. Don't you know that?
I'd get on to my kids when they would like mess with the cats, and I'm like, fine, the cats will retaliate when they would scratch them. I'd be like, that's what you get.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this little dog was afraid of women for a whole year until we, you know, awful. You know, fortunately he moved into our house because me and my husband are here and okay. We were able to calm him down and get him over that fear.
He probably, to him, he was, all he saw was two gentlemen, right?
Yeah.
And so for him, it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. But I mean,
and if anybody wants to meet to me over that, screw off, because dogs don't know, they don't understand. They're just dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that ever.
So is there certain animal breeds that want to talk to you more than others?
No, they actually all talk to me. So I do pet readings on the weekends, and I'm actually booked out a year in advance.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's crazy. So I have talked to all breeds of dogs, all breeds of cats. I just did a horse, communicate with a horse, and a bird. Any domesticated animal I can communicate with. I've communicated with gerbils, rats who are domesticated.
Snake food.
Yeah. So I draw the line at spiders and snakes, like that old Jim Stafford song.
Well, spiders aren't technically animals. They're insects. Maybe you might not be able to communicate with a spider.
Well, they're pets, but...
a different... Their whole endocrine system is completely different. It's not a mammal at all. Not even close to a mammal.
So do you even... And this sounds crazy, but do you have readings with any of them when they're alive, an alive dog or a...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a different gift. That's an animal communicator.
Oh,
that's
okay.
I could, not in an existential, spiritual way, but I can do that. Just like, what's his name? The dog whisperer guy, whatever he is, the guy from LA that has all those dogs. Oh, yeah. I can, when it comes to dogs, I know exactly what's going on with the dog within about 10 minutes of dealing with him.
I just always wanted to know what my black lab Pluto was thinking sometimes.
I am Pluto. That's what he's thinking. That's what he's thinking. I am Pluto. Hello. How are you? You have something for me to eat? No? Okay, pets, then. That'd be fine. That's what he's thinking.
Or if he's going, you stupid humans, just give me a piece of bacon.
Now, that's maybe, maybe Sky would think that.
But. I have a black lab and I have an Australian Shepherd.
Oh, awesome.
The Australian Shepherd is super smart, but she's very, very clingy.
Yeah, she doesn't like anybody else. Like, whenever he's not at my house, the dog's in the bed next to me, follows me around. It's a sweet dog. It's very smart. Pluto's kind of like the black lab, but let anybody in and wag his tail as long as they pet him.
That's what I said. He's like, I am Pluto. How are you? That's him.
And Skye's like, I don't like you. I'm going to eat your face off because you're dropping off a package.
She's not... aggressive.
No.
As in mean. She's aggressive because she's scared.
Well, she's super protective.
Because she's scared.
Like, I live in the country, and we have the same basic UPS guy, FedEx guy. In the beginning, he used to just leave the packages on top of the hill because he would not come down the hill to actually put them on the porch because he was afraid of the dogs. And then over time, the dogs got, you know, used to him and they got used to each other that he can actually walk down and put the package on the house. But he told me for the longest time, he says, I was afraid of your Australian Shepherd. She looks mean.
And she was never mean.
No, she just didn't like strangers.
Because she's scared.
Well, I like that. It keeps...
Well, that's okay. That's what you got her for.
Creepy people out of my house.
You got her to keep creepy people out of your house.
But... I'm trying to think.
So you can't tell us what the live animal's doing other than just your perceptions of, you know, just being around animals, period.
Sure. I mean, well, from a dog rescue perspective,
I
can tell you, you know, from my experiences.
I'm sure you speak dog.
I do.
So do you have people like maybe look you up and be like, I want to talk to my dead grandma or grandpa or things like that? And if so, how does that work?
Yeah, so I do, but about a year and a half ago, I made the decision that I would no longer go.
Uh-oh, we lost him.
To offer readings.
We lost you for a second there. We lost you for a second there, so if you could reiterate your answer.
Sure. So a year ago, I decided I was no longer going to speak with people on the other side. I was only going to focus on pets. And it happened because of a very traumatic reading that I gave to somebody I didn't know. So I always steer people who want readings with a good medium to the Beantown medium. My friend Ruth Larkin, she's amazing. I think people have too many hangups.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will tell you the story about the reading. And this was the linchpin that made me say, okay, I'm done. This woman wrote me and she said, I want to get a hold of my dad on the other side. And I just want to, you know, find out how he's doing and see if he has to say anything. And I said, okay. So when I do readings, Paul and Andrea, I just do them by email. Somebody sends me a picture, person's name or whatever, and then I do the reading. Well, this guy came through and he said, I was a neglectful father. I was physically abusive. I was sexually abusive. I was an alcoholic. I never paid attention to my kids, other than, you know, physically hurting them. And now I want forgiveness. And, you know, I don't know this person. This, all I have is an email address and her first name and her father's name, first name and picture.
Yeah, that's not going to go well if you send her that.
Yeah. So I was really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I thought about it and I said, okay, well, you know, this is what they tell me. So I sent the email and she wrote me back and confirmed every single thing that I said.
Yeah.
And it was heartbreaking for me. And I just said, okay, I'm done with people. I'm only talking to dogs and cats.
Did she get all upset about it and like take it out on you?
No, she was actually quite nice about it. She was very comforted by at her father asking for forgiveness because she needed to hear that he was sorry.
Yeah.
She said, as an adult.
And you had no preloading or anything of this person, just an email.
Just an email with his name and picture.
Was it a picture of just him or with the kids?
No, just him.
Interesting. I'm just trying to look at it from a psychological aspect, you know, because you can, we could front load. Front loading is a super thing. And we have to always worry about front loading on anything that has to do with something that isn't written down on paper. Mm-hmm. And even then, you can go on Twitter and front load yourself with how evil someone is and then read their tweets and be like, oh, that guy, he just proved he's evil. But it's only because you're front loaded and you're not looking at it with an open mind.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, reason I'm asking is because that's what I find a lot. And, you know, you have people who I would consider more of a medium than, and there's people who I would consider more of a physical reader of micro expressions. And they don't understand that it's micro expressions. So they turn it into mediumship.
Mm-hmm.
And
I get that
because I'm really, really good at reading micro expressions and I can tell when somebody's upset. And in fact, your daughter's the same way. She doesn't even know she's good at it.
Yeah.
But she's really good at it because both of us can tell when you're upset before you even know you're upset.
True.
And it's all because of the micro expressions and how you hold your, you know, just little things. And I studied it. What was it? Paul Eichmann. He's the world-renowned expert on that, and he holds classes for it. But a lot of these folks, what I found, and that's where you start getting into the charlatans and all that other stuff, and it's not, you know, they're doing it differently, and they're attributing it to something that's not true. The gypsy tarot card readers, a lot of times, they're the ones, that's the cliche ones, not the true ones, but the cliche ones we see on TV and stuff like that. There's, I always say that there is stereotypes for a reason. If the stereotype wouldn't exist if somebody didn't do it.
Sure.
So it's one of those things. So that's why I was asking. I just want to make sure when I'm talking to someone that it's not them reading the emotions and letting that little eye twitch or the frown or the half second of disgust shown on someone's face to tell them which direction to go to.
Well, he doesn't have any of that. He just has an email in their picture.
That's what I was asking.
That's as plain Jane as
it gets.
I guess
mostly I was saying that too for our generic listener who doesn't go and deal with this stuff. You know, sometimes they need to know this, or they'll just lose their money to somebody who's just a charlatan.
But yeah, I mean, you know, go ahead.
I've had people ask me if I spend hours researching their name on the internet, and I don't have that kind of time. I'm a meteorologist full time.
Yeah,
I do this part time. I have a family. We have three dogs. You know, I write books. I do lectures. I work with rescues. Who has time?
And 4 hours of research on some woman from Poughkeepsie.
And here's the thing. I don't even know where they live.
That's true. You don't. And I mean, could have a really common generic last name like I do. There's thousands of us with my last name. So you would have,
Well, you could have in the northern Midwest, and there's tons of Newtons.
So let me just tell you that I get emails from around the world. And I don't find out what countries these people are from until after they reply to my reading. I've done readings for Japan, for Canada, for Germany, for Poland, for South Africa, for Turkey, for Tanzania, everywhere. And what's interesting is that the pets will actually show me and describe the houses in which they live. So it's like I've visited these countries to see how people live in these houses, and that's freaky.
Since you got a little bit of an objective view for the science of it, and with your energy explanation, which, you know, if you're going to find something that does this, and that's an extremely plausible explanation of how energy is transferred, you know, it's how can we scientific? Where have we begun to scientifically figure out that this stuff is real, rather than just in our head?
Good question. I think that the equipment that paranormal investigators are using really complements that answer. So we use temperatures to look for cold spots. We use digital recorders. Digital recorders will record at higher and lower frequencies than humans can hear, and when we play them back, we can actually hear them. And by the way, dogs and cats can hear at different frequencies than humans can. So if you think of a dog whistle, we can't hear it. That's why.
It's not necessarily true, because I can hear a dog whistle. If it's within 100 yards of me, I can hear that dog whistle. If it's further out, I can't hear it. Even to this day.
But I thought you said you were part St. Bernard.
Yes, I am. I carry around the bottle of whiskey wherever I go.
See, there you go. There's an explanation for
it's supposed to be brandy, but I prefer whiskey. It's like, whatever, just leave me alone. I got, you know, it's a new world. I can do what I want.
Oh my gosh.
So we also use K2 meters to pick up on energy.
Explain a K2 meter to me.
So K2 meters are basically to look for electronic radiation, if you will. Your electrician will use it to check your fuse box to see if it's emitting electromagnetic energy that is beyond what's allowable for people. If you have a fuse box in the basement and it's radiating too high of an amount of electromagnetic radiation, it will affect our brain. So it'll make us feel paranoid. It'll make us feel like somebody's watching
us.
This
is actually true. There's scientific studies on this. It's real.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, as a scientist, for me, it's really important. I have to read all these studies. I read behavioral studies about pets, and I read scientific studies about magnetism and electricity and all kinds of stuff. So that's why I like to think that I am more believable, because I cite all these scientific studies that try to back up the things that I have found out.
And it's really tough on this stuff, because it's just like people front load themselves, like I was talking a minute ago. Oh, those bunch of quacks. And so they don't believe anything, or don't have an open mind to anything that anybody has to say. And yes, we may have 47 theories that are all just kind of wishing, but there may be that 48th theory that goes, oh, that actually works. Huh. Like the electricity resonating at a frequency that screws with your brain.
That makes sense.
It does do that. Yeah.
So totally have to ask this question, but how do you feel about some of those ghost shows out there?
Yeah.
They're mostly Hollywood.
My youngest loves one of them in particular. I'm not going to say which one, because I don't want them coming back at us.
Well, that one's goofy. But that's not even, they're just a bunch of teenagers screwing around.
Well, there's another one she likes too. And
the muscular guy there?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Has
I know which one.
If I see it's on, I just whatever.
But you know, she's really, really interested in that. Really in tuned into supernatural.
I think she's really just more interested in the guys.
Could be. She's at that age.
Yeah.
But I always wondered, like, some of that would be kind of cool if you could actually hear them talk back to you. And some of that would be kind of cool if you can actually see them on a computer screen that looks like dancing stick men. But I always wondered how much of that technology is true that you can actually have and how much of it's Hollywooded up. Does that make sense?
So one of the books that I wrote is called Case Files of Inspired Ghost Tracking. And this is actual file. This is actual cases that our team went on. I'm also the person that writes all the reports, by the way, whenever we go into private houses with hauntings. So if you read this book, Case Files of Inspired Ghost Tracking, you will feel like you're going on a paranormal investigation. And I outline not only all the instruments that we use, we have a technology team, but also what the mediums experience as well. So that particular book is a matter-of-fact book about paranormal investigations, not Hollywood.
That might be a book to get Melissa.
Yeah, I think it would be.
She loves that stuff.
Well, you know, a lot of the stuff that they use, being an audio engineer myself, not because I want to be an audio engineer, but I have to by default, or else the audio doesn't do good in my films. I see the stuff that they're using, and I'm like, what? And so it makes me a little skeptical about hearing the EMF, I guess it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm a little skeptical on that because I know how the waveforms are made. But then you've got another podcast. What's that one I've been talking about that I tried to get you to listen to last night? But then I changed my mind.
I don't remember.
You don't remember that? Jeez. Killing me. I got to look it up and waste everybody's time as I sit here and ramble on so that there's something for them to listen to while I'm doing something.
So those technology that they show on these shows that makes a little weird little noise and you can actually hear people talking, is that legitimate science?
Ghost boxes?
Yes.
It seems to be working if you can get answers. So, I mean, I don't take a lot of stock in them, but sometimes you actually get the answers that you're looking for.
Astonishing Legends. Those guys. They're the coast to coast of the podcast world, Astonishing Legends.
So one of the things I want to mention, too, is that sometimes ghosts will show themselves to me in my mind. And I always carry a sketchbook with me because I like to draw.
Yeah.
So in my books, you'll see sketches of ghosts that I have drawn. And Paul can see this on the video that I'm showing. But what's interesting is that in one particular case that I can remember, I went to a Howard County Historical Museum. It used to be a church, I think. It was being haunted by a couple of different ghosts. And one of them revealed himself to me as an older man who was balding with glasses and like hair just around like the sides of his head. And I sketched him out and I showed this to the docent and she said, I know who that is. Hmm. So she went and she got a book of a historic book of all the different people that used to preach there. And the face that I drew matched his photograph.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty weird. Yeah, it was freaky.
I guess one of the experiences I had was at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. It's known for being haunted. And Paul always laughs at this, but I swear by this. They do ghost tours and things like that. And we just moved to Eureka. We were wandering around. And I think it's the third floor of the hotel. I smell the cigar smoke.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I turned to the kids and I'm like, what idiot is smoking a cigar in this lovely facility? It would take
It would have been me if they let me. So
it would take like one little match and this place would go up in flames. It's extremely old. So we were done, and several years later I took a ghost tour and walking around, and the guy starts talking about the exact same spot I was standing at. If you smell this pipe smoke, it's from a certain person. I can't remember his name. I think that used
to, was it a pipe or cigar?
It was a cigar.
Okay.
Cigar smell.
And he said pipe though.
Well, he said cigar, pipe. I get him, the smells to me the same.
No way.
To me, it is.
All right.
So anyways, and my face like went really white and I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I was like right there. And that's what I smelt. And that's what I said to the kids. So when the tour was over, I said, hey, by the way, I had the same similar experience. I was just visiting and now I live here locally and stuff. And so I just thought that somebody was being an idiot and smoking in this place. And he's like, no, no, this ghost does it all the time. And Paul seems to think that
every day at 8 a.m., they say, all right, your turn to smoke a cigar in room 304.
You are such a tease.
And I'm like, no, I swear.
I mean, that's what I would do if I ran that hotel and was telling those stories on the ghost tour. I'd be like, no, Bill, go up there and smoke a cigar.
You should look up the hotel. It's got a lot of ghost stories.
Well, it used to be not an infirmary, but it
was a girls' school.
Yeah, at the beginning, but the real turn was
Dr. Baker.
I'm going to call them and see if I can get them on the list. We've just got so many interviews. We're booked up all the way to in mid January. So I didn't want to book the people in Eureka Springs if we didn't have time.
It's true. This supposedly Dr. Baker was not a very good physician. And people would come from all over to stay at the hotel/hospital.
To get better for their ills.
To get better for their ills. And essentially, he was killing him.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So that's why he stayed behind. Because he was killing them. And he obviously realized he was killing them. And he was afraid to cross over to the other side. Because
they're all waiting on him.
When people do bad things, they think they're going to, when they cross over, they're going to go to hell. They don't go to hell. Hell and heaven really are kind of man-made concepts to get us to do the right thing. The other side is actually really peace and love and forgiveness and really calmness. But I just cannot imagine
that Hitler is sitting next to Stalin going, man, these Mai Tais are great. I'm sure glad that these people are bringing them to us.
Oh, I think he's earthbound. So earthbound ghosts.
I would agree with that. I mean, if they're going to do that, Hitler wouldn't want to go.
That's my idea of hell, Paul, because imagine being stuck for your afterlife for eternity. Nobody can hear you but a medium, and you go insane over the course of millennia.
How would that be any different for Hitler in the last month?
Well, no different. Yeah.
I just don't want to be up in heaven sitting next to Hitler because I think I would have a hard time with that concept.
Well, if you know everything at that point, even in the Christian Judeo and in the Jewish and even in the Torah, or not Torah, yeah, but Quran. When you pass, you know everything.
Yeah.
Still, that's not one guy I want to see in the same spot as me.
No, there's a special place somewhere for those two cats. There has to be.
Well, there are lower levels of the afterlife. And I've realized that there are like three different levels because my aunt who died, she crossed over, but she was in a low level of spirit. She came to me over the course of 25 years asking to get my mother's forgiveness so she could go to a higher level on the other side. My mother is Italian. She invented the word vendetta. No lie. It took 25 years for me to convince my mom to forgive my aunt.
Was it Rachel way back in the day? She invented the word guilt. I'm talking about pre-biblical times.
Yeah.
Alluding to the Jewish mother that is guilt, but it's not always a Jewish mother because my mother's a really good at it too, and she's not Jewish.
Yeah.
My mother's a good at it too.
All mothers are, really.
I think so. It's true.
So you can read about that really crazy story about my aunt visiting me for 25 years as a low spirit. It's in my book, Lessons Learned from Talking to the Dead. It was crazy.
Did you ever just say to her, I get it, I'm trying, I'm working on it, I'll let you know when I got the answer?
I did. And I said, you know what? I'm like, you've been dead for 15, 20 years. You can wait another, half a little while.
Yeah. Well, it's weird though, because again, I just don't experience any of this stuff.
I guess I've had three experiences, so yeah.
I mean, I could force myself to go into a trance. I can. Okay. I mean, Dale Allen Rouse, he's a shaman guy, and he and I had a real good conversation about, practices.
Yeah,
and I like him. He's a good guy. I trust him to tell me what's as true as he can, right? One guy I actually trust.
You want to find your spirit animal?
Yeah, I know what my spirit animal is.
What Domino, is it?
It's a Domino's pizza box.
That's not an animal.
Mine's probably a cockroach because I hate those things.
Oh no!
But he and I were talking about, you know, trances and stuff like that, and he's like, "Oh wow, you do that? I can't believe you do that." And he's like, "No, that's what they taught us to do at the shaman school." And I was like, "I don't know, I just always done it." And so I can, it's like sometimes I feel like I can see what's coming. And yeah. And I definitely can read people, but I attribute that to more practice than anything else. But so, I mean, I get it. I'm with you there. I just never have had. I'll tell the story again. When I was a kid, and this is probably where my naysaying thoughts come from. When I was a kid, I thought there was something in my closet going to get me.
Every kid mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I said, oh, no, it's going to get me. It's going to get me. And so I had this Miami Vice pistol. It looked like the Crockett. He carried this pistol. So I had one. It's the, you know, it's the late 70s, early 80s, right? So we were able to buy fake guns that looked real and no one cared. It's like, oh, cool, that's a fake gun, yeah. But look real. You're going to get shot at night. Don't point it at anybody. You won't get shot. Okay. You know, different set of...
Different time.
Different ethics back then. So I took that pistol, jumped out of my bed, and shot the ghosts. And they never bothered me again. Not once.
Oh. So,
it's psychological for me. I broke the psychological portion of it. Because obviously a fake gun's not going to run somebody off. But the intention, now I will give you that the intention of you got to leave me alone and I'm making a big deal out of it, could have told whatever spirit was there to get the hell out.
Exactly.
And they took it as that. Yep. But from the psychological, more Freudian and Jung point of view, that was me breaking my psychology and mm-hmm. turning it off from being a young child to an adult about what's going on around me and how my brain is handling things. So it's kind of a six of one, half dozen the other. Both could be explained away, and neither one of them can actually be proved, because psychology is a lot like mediumship, and yes, it is. It just there's a lot more. You can get more statistics out of psychology because the reactions are there. You can document sure. them on both sides of the equation, while in mediumship you can't document the other side. You know, I mean, you have to take somebody's word for it.
Maybe you can. I mean, I do have a question for you, though. You having this ability and this talent, have there ever been times that you wish you could just, like, shut it off?
Oh, gosh.
Is it burdensome? I mean, I just wonder. I kept thinking, man, if I'm sitting there just trying to go about my day and all of a sudden these people are like, hey, can I talk to you? I want to talk to a medium. I haven't talked to anybody in thousands of years. I can talk to you. To me, I'd be like, just leave me alone. I want to go to the bathroom. I want to take a shower. Leave me alone.
Trying to take a shit. Shut up.
You know, I mean, it's like, I just think it is a perspective of being a mom when the little kids are like, mom, and you're like, what? You know, it's just, it must be overwhelming at times.
Wait, yeah, Andrea, you're absolutely right. So I always joke that there have been more senior citizen, elderly ladies in my shower than anywhere else.
Oh my God.
That's dangerous.
Yeah,
that's dangerous because somebody other is going to take you serious. Oh, that's even worse. I'm just saying.
So that's when I'm having, you know, I'm quiet with my thoughts. And one night I was taking a shower and my friend Kathy's mother, who lived in Florida, I never met her. She came through to me while I was in the shower and she said, you need to call Kathy right now. And I'm like, and I'm sitting in the shower by myself talking to this dead woman. And I said, okay, I'll go. And I said, it's too late. I can't call her. She'll be asleep. And her mother said, now. And I'm like, okay. So I called Kathy and I said, your mother is here. And she's telling me about something on a lawnmower that you use to mow a golf course or something. And I said, the machine, it's broken and it's going to, it's going to hurt you if you get on it. And she said, She said, I work at a golf course. I work at a, well, I work at a hotel, but she said, I've been working on the golf course lately and they wanted me to start mowing. So she called me back the next day and she said, they looked at the mower and sure enough, it was broken and it would have turned over. And
wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, paid off. So, you know, all those old women paid off for, finally, didn't they?
I know. So my two books On a Medium's Vacation is all about that, Andrea, that these ghosts were shouting at me wherever I visited, like the Birdcage Theater. I met 11 dead people. When I went to England, I met countless dead people. Queens and royalty and knights and peasants and just everybody. And I documented that because whenever I go somewhere, I take a journal so I can sketch them out if I meet somebody or whatever. But yeah, it's like being in a supermarket line and they go, hey, 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 hey. And you have to turn around and go, what do you want?
Can you ever shut it off or is it just constant?
I can shut it off if I'm super focused on what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how can you work as a meteorologist when all of a sudden you're like talking about a tornado coming and this ghost is like, hey, how's it going? You know?
Yeah. Fortunately, I don't live in a haunted house anymore. I did live in a haunted house at once, but
oh gosh. So
only spirits of my loved ones will come in and they respect what I do.
Now, so that's one thing that I wanted to ask earlier. We kind of got sidetracked on it. The difference between spirit, in-depth detail of what the difference between a spirit and a ghost is.
It's really only about location. Because they're all energy with memories, personality, and knowledge. And ghosts choose to stay earthbound at a fixed location of their choice, which is often a place they're familiar with or perhaps a place they died. Spirits are on the other side. They join the energies that run through the cosmos. People call it heaven. People call it paradise, Valhalla, anything. And those spirits have the ability to come anywhere, anytime, any place. They can go anywhere in the world. The spirit of my dog Buzz appeared in Puerto Rico when I was on vacation. My mother,
but Buzz has never been to Puerto Rico.
Doesn't matter. So that's a good question though. That the love that we share is an energy, and that love acts as a tether. It's like a spider web to all of the people that you love in the world or out of the world.
Guy, we have a question, and please don't take offense. Let's see. I'm thinking, what if it's actually extrasensory perception that you're picking up on?
It could be. I mean, that could be part of it.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out because I just don't experience the ghosts.
Whatever it is, it works. Obviously, the lawnmower lady, for example.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to be negative or anything. I'm just being open minded about it and letting it. Fill in my, you know, my logic is I'm filling in where my logic goes, trying to figure it out. What's happening here? What's happening there? How did this happen? How could this happen? Because there's something to be said, and it could just be our eyeballs and our ears leading us down the road when we hear or see the other person. They inadvertently communicate with us through their body language, whatever, because mm-hmm. that's very possible. I premiere on that. I know what I'm doing. Or it could be ESP, and you know what? It's one of those things we can't prove.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I always tell people to talk to me when I'm dead, and then I'll get answers.
Well, there's got to be something to it. I mean,
I'm really not trying to put it down or anything like that. I'm just thinking totally openly. It. That's all.
The lady example with the lawnmower. That's kind of like, how else would he possibly have known that? Unless
I never met her.
You never met her. I mean,
it's true.
The emails, I think there are things in this world that we're just, some people are gifted to have and other people are not.
There are a lot of different gifts. And so mediumship is one. People say that I'm a psychic medium and I'm not a psychic. So psychics can communicate with the energy of the past, present, and future. Those people that use tarot cards are psychics. Those are tools for psychics. They can tell you what you did in the past, what's happening in your present life, and what paths you have in the future to choose from. That's a psychic. I'm a medium. I only talk to people and pets who have passed. So it's
medium is in like you have a wire between one power source to the thing you're trying to power. The mm-hmm. wire is a medium. It's carrying the electricity to that other piece of equipment so it can work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A battery is a medium.
Yeah.
Yeah. The insides of the battery is where the electricity is stored until it is expended whenever the circuit is made.
So have you ever talked to somebody that maybe is slightly like not very nice, malevolent?
Oh gosh. Yeah.
I think to me that would just, I'd be like, I'm out.
what was that like? I mean, what were they doing?
So we maintain our personalities when we die. And well,
that's gotta suck for anyone who meets me in the afterlife.
Oh, you have them laughing. Yeah, so I've run into some really nasty dead people. Actually, when I was in Scotland, I can tell you there was a guy that was a miser, and when he died, he was so obsessed with his grave that he decided to haunt it, which is very unusual because ghosts don't haunt cemeteries. But his grave was enclosed. And when I went in this cemetery, it's Greyfriars Bobby Cemetery in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
He was there and he was shouting at me and he just made me feel horrible. And I just can't go near there.
Yeah.
He's a jerk in life. He's a jerk in death. And that's the way it goes.
That's weird. Do you think they would lose that?
Only if they cross over in spirit.
Okay. He just wanted to hang around his grave because he just wanted to hang around his
grave. He was sure somebody was going to rob his grave of his stuff. Probably. Yeah.
I think you hit on it. He was, you know, he was so miserly that he wanted to make sure that whatever valuables were buried with him stayed in the ground.
That's I know people like that. I want to be buried in my car.
I don't think it's possible in the state of Arkansas, but it might be. Probably
a big old mausoleum. Just roll the car in there, and then, you know, have the mortician. You know, he has to wait until after rigor's gone, right?
I think they'll only bury you if you have a clown car because the other ones are too big.
Yeah. Crowd car. But no, then because then you have to have 15 other people with you.
Are they going to play the clown song as everybody comes out of the car?
No. Oh, God, I hope not. It's clowns. That'd be perfect for you. You'd have to go visit me and be like, I can't go see his grave.
I don't like clowns.
How did we get here?
I have no idea.
Welcome to the world of Paul.
So this is kind of an odd question, but how quickly when someone passes, do they try to talk to you?
Immediately.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do that because they want to try and comfort us. So
maybe that's what it is. It's like, I'm upset that they're gone, but I know it's a better thing. And so it's not upset. It's the change that I'm upset about.
Maybe.
So I can tell you just an instance that just happened to me in the last 2 weeks. A colleague of mine, a work colleague, this young girl. Well, everybody's younger than me, but
my dad's not. I can guarantee you that.
This girl that I work with, I know her. I don't know her very well, but I know her. She's very nice. She messaged the office that her father passed suddenly. Her father was in his late 40s.
Oh, wow.
Or mid 40s. And she was destroyed. Yeah. And she knew that she knew about me and my abilities at work. Now, this is my meteorology job.
Yeah.
So she said, is there anything that you can get from my dad? So her dad came through to me and showed me a yellow flower with a black center. Like a big sunflower.
Yeah.
I didn't know. And her dad said, this is special to me. It has special meaning. And whenever you see it, whenever my daughters see it, they will know I'm around.
Aww.
And so, you know, I only know her to say hello in, you know, or, and I don't know anything about her. I didn't even know she had sisters. I didn't know her dad. I didn't know nothing. So I sent her this message and she shared that message with her father's sister. And her sisters. Turns out her dad, who had been estranged from her, lived in a house where he grew sunflowers in the backyard.
Okay.
And the first thing she saw was a sunflower after I sent her that message. So her sunflowers were her dad's hallmark, if you will.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The tough part is that somebody like myself, I always throw water on things that I probably shouldn't. But whatever. It's like when you buy a red car, you think no one else owns a red car, and then all of a sudden sure. everybody owns the same red car you're driving. And it's like, you know, it's you front load yourself. And that's I just wanted to take the opportunity to explain to people who are listening. That's front loading. Yeah. You're now looking for it. And so everything you see is going to be that.
Yeah. But the key here, Paul, was that he was known for
sunflowers.
Sunflowers. And, you know.
Well, that's cool. There's no way you could have known.
I couldn't even identify the flower. I said it's just a yellow flower with black in the middle.
Black Hole Sun is what it is. That's what I saw. It's Black Hole Sun. You should look up that song.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's a flower, Paul. Oh, sorry. I'm sending her down some kind of dark, crazy path with heroin. Yeah.
But I think, you know, anybody who loses someone suddenly, any type of response or acknowledgement or message, you know, is very comforting.
Well, absolutely. I keep my grandmother's, her funeral, I'll keep it out here where everybody can see it. And it just sits here. It's been sitting here for years.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have to remind me. I remind myself.
I mean, every now and then I wish I could go talk to my dad, but I know that's not possible. But it would be kind of nice just to be,
But you know what he would say for the most thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not right. It's not, his voice rings in your head.
Yeah, sometimes.
Ask him to come in your dreams. Ask him to come in your dreams, and he will over time.
And you know what? And honestly, just from a psychological standpoint, the other side of the fence, if you want to dream about someone, then yes, absolutely, you should focus on them before going to bed, because your mind will do it. Your mind will make that dream, whether it's from them or it's because of you, I don't know.
Or your brain will just have you like, have seen cats riding whales. I mean, you know, it just your brain does weird things when you dream.
Your dad would love that.
Possibly.
I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this, by the way. I know it's our conversations can sometimes be kind of strange because, you know, I'm strange. But
me too.
One last time, where can they find your books and which one are you most proud of?
Oh gosh. I'm on Amazon.com. That's where all the books are. They're eBooks and Kindle books. And they're all under $10 because I want people to read and educate themselves about how the paranormal works. I also want grieving pet parents to read how to find signs from their pet so they don't need a medium.
Okay. Do you have any hard printed books that they can order?
Oh, yes. Yeah. All of my books are in paperback.
Oh, okay. Can they get them signed by you if they wanted it?
They could. They can send me a note via, one of the social media platforms, and I can sign it and then and mail it out.
Yeah. You may want to be careful. I guess we had a couple of authors, and I know this from work, that, and I just relay the information because hell, who knew? Anybody in Canada is going to cost you like $25 to send them a book, just in postage. It's stupid crazy.
Yeah. So I can do it within the U.S. I can't. Unfortunately, I can't do an international. Book signings, but
I mean, you can if they pay for the postage ahead of time.
Yeah, I'd rather them just order it on Amazon, and I can send them a personal note.
Okay,
can put in the book.
So there, perfect. That'll work. Perfect. He doesn't really do book signings, and that's okay. We had a problem with that.
I do a lot of appearances throughout the U.S. I would love to come to Canada.
I'm just looking for ways to have you make more money. That's all.
Oh, you're your books. Thanks.
So where's your next appearance at?
I have to think about it. I have several appearances in 2023. I have three animal rescues lined up, one in Rhode Island, two in New Hampshire.
Oh, nice.
I have another one in Pennsylvania that's at a battlefield benefiting the Pity Paws Rescue. So I do a lot of lectures about how pets communicate from the afterlife. And what I do is I don't charge rescues at all for my travel or anything. I just do it to help grieving pet parents, and they charge people to attend, and they take all the money and put it toward helping the rescue.
That's good. Animals. So. That's good, because it's animals, especially down here in the South, an animal rescue is always considered hippy-dippy.
You know? Well, Good Shepherd, the one in Eureka Springs that I always affiliate with, they're one of the very few non-kill shelters around. Yeah. So they've been extremely helpful with getting, you know, cats and dogs spayed and neutered at a reasonable price and things like that.
There's nothing wrong with helping out any kind of animal shelter that's a no-kill shelter, because animals can't help it. They are your responsibility. They are our responsibility. They are... Be nice to the animals. They don't know. Dogs have been bred to be human companions. They're not very good on their own. Cats, God knows what cats are thinking. I don't know.
If I would go there, I ended up bringing some home. So that's why I have my own. I do my own like a...
You're banned permanently from going to any of the rescues.
I have my own little place. And when people dump cats, I ended up keeping them.
No.
So if either of you know a rescue that would like me to do a lecture for them as a fundraiser, just
Good Shepherd would enjoy that, but I'm not sure they would. I don't know. Are they Christian based? If they're Christian based, they
I don't think they're Christian based. I don't know much about them, but we can.
The Baptists down here are rough because they don't believe in this stuff.
Good Shepherd. It's in Eureka Springs. I could probably have Paul send you the phone number and stuff like that. They're always looking for stuff to help with, you know, raising money for the shelter and things like that. So definitely, yeah, they're a good
group. Have to watch it when you get into the South, because if you get into some of the more religious organizations that do these things, I can't swear that they will want to hear about afterlife of pets.
No, I understand. And, you know, that's the one thing that really, that's the one question that makes me furious is when people say, well, pets don't have souls. Well, you know, what's a soul? A soul is memories, personality, and knowledge combined with energy of our life. And every living thing has a soul. So, you know, to the people who are stuck in those religions, you'll find out when you're dead that you're wrong. Every living thing has a soul. And our pets will be waiting for us on the other side. And I'm not saying that to be cruel to the religions. Everybody's welcome to their own religious views. But we have to keep in mind that religions were conceived by man. And
translate. Even if they were given to you by God, it was still translated by a man.
Nobody knows what the afterlife really is. So we don't know everything. But an 8-year-old boy who was the son of a friend of mine was told by a preacher that his dog is dead and will never be seen again. And that kid had an emotional breakdown at 8 years old because of that preacher. And I just thought, how horrible that is to do to an 8-year-old boy.
And the fact that there's no possible way that any of us could actually know the truth behind that.
Sure. Absolutely.
You think I have a lot of pets in my house. Whenever they all pass on and I meet them, I'm going to have like a lot of animals.
Yeah. And God's going to be like, you know what? You did this to yourself. You get to change the litter box.
Dog's going to build you a special cat room on the other side.
That's what Hitler's doing. He's just going around, and that's what he does from all day long, because you don't have to sleep when you're in afterlife. He just cleans cat boxes all day long, one to the next, to the next, to the next. And he's got to carry it with him the whole time, too.
Well, he deserves it.
And yeah, and then at 10 o'clock, every day at 10 o'clock, he gets that pineapple inserted in his ass.
It's based off a movie. If you haven't seen it. Oh my God, Paul.
You painted quite a picture there.
Well, I mean, you know, Stalin's right there behind him.
Yeah. So anyway, people can find me on Amazon. Just type in GUTRO for any of my books and ebook, paperback. I do readings on weekends, animal readings, booked out a year. You can go to petspirits.com.
And you're on Coast to Coast today. Is that right?
Yeah.
So this is your pre-warm-up.
Yeah, 3 a.m.
Oh, my God. You had to go take a nap. So he's appearing on Coast to Coast AM, which is the largest listened to paranormal radio show in the world. And it's everywhere. So that's quite an honor. That's quite an honor. You should be totally honored that you're on Coast to Coast.
I'm very honored and flattered. And actually, I'm very honored that both you and Andrea have welcomed me onto your show. Because,
oh, absolutely.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't always swear that I'm nice. But I can always promise that I'll swear.
You are nice. You're open. You make people laugh.
I've never, people tell me all the time, so why would you say stuff like that? I'm like, why not? I mean, if that's what I'm thinking, and I'm not holding any, I never come from a place of malice with anyone.
No.
And even when I'm complaining about the one guy that, you know, that we had on, and I hear me every now and again complain about, I'm not complaining about him in malice from a place of darkness. I'm complaining because it's like, oh my God, man, listen to yourself. And you know, it's this, like Rob here, he's really nice. And he's trying to help people, you know, and he's open about it. He's taking his, trying to be scientific about it. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. That's why he's here, because I learned my lesson. I have to actually be interested in the person, what they had to say, if I'm going to bring them on the show. I'm the one booking it, you know. Andrea's like, no, you book it. Go away. So, but speaking of booking, who do we have coming up next?
Oh, let me check my notes, because we have so many people.
You're supposed to write this down.
I do, but this, nope, I have a notebook. I'm one of these old-fashioned people that cannot put stuff in my phone because I just refuse.
Everything I have is on the internet. I don't carry any paper.
Let's see what we got here.
Come on.
David Edwards Atlantis, November 26th.
He believes that he has scientifically found Atlantis.
That would be very interesting.
Well, is it off the coast of Greece?
I don't know. We're going to find out. We don't research the topic before we talk to our guests, because it will pollute us, and we don't want to have a negative, other than what we already bring to the table, we don't want to have a negative connotation or think the wrong thing or misunderstanding. Let our guest tell us what they're up to.
We want to learn from you. I don't want to have any preconceived notions going in.
Yeah.
As a comic book fan, I've always wanted to meet Aquaman. I love him. So, you know, when
Jason
Atlantis,
Momoa? Yeah.
Well. I like the Aquaman in the comic books. Thank you very much.
I mean, Momoa would be interesting to meet, especially if you enjoy pot, which I don't. But if you enjoy pot, he'd be a great guy to meet, because I'm sure he's carrying around about a bag of it.
He is huge and intimidating. So, yeah.
He's really a big goof is what he is. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So we got the Atlantis guy coming up, and that'll be, so we're a podcast ahead. So this is 2 weeks. This is released 2 weeks, unfortunately, after we do the interview, because we have one more ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked to a man about Afghanistan. He was a contractor in Afghanistan.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He was interesting. I really like it. I look forward to releasing it. So this one will come after that. So this next one releases on Thanksgiving, just after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just after Thanksgiving. And this one will be the first week in December. That's when this one's going to be heard. So,
okay.
What do we, and then after that, we've got Atlantis, and then we've got
Randy Overbeck.
And then we've got your opera singer lady.
Yes, and we have Kristen. About ballet and opera and how all that works and stuff.
You're really interested in
that. I love the Nutcracker. I've loved that thing since I was a kid.
Yeah, she buys Nutcrackers. So again, just like last week, if you want to, if you want to give something to us for Andrea to enjoy, please email me and I'll tell you a PO box to send it to. But any Nutcracker that you have, good or bad, big or small, strange or normal, Andrea would like to have it.
I do collect unusual ones. This is true.
Yeah, Nutcrackers.
Yeah. I like the ballet.
So, Rob, is there anything else that you want us to have a takeaway today?
A couple of quick things. Number one, that if you've lost a pet, I totally understand your grief. Your pet understands the grief. And if you had to make the decision to help your pet cross over by getting them euthanized, your pet understands that. There's no forgiveness needed. They applaud your courage. It's all about love. And that means that you learned their lesson of unconditional love. And number two, your pets will be waiting for you on the other side. Number three, they will also be giving you messages in spirit. Some of those things that we described. So that they will always be bonded to you.
Nice.
Love lasts forever.
I hope so. I don't know. Any love that I felt for my ex-wife is gone.
Oh, Lord.
Just saying that.
That's a whole other podcast in itself. Well, oh, my Lord. I don't even know what to say. Just thank you so much for coming on. I've learned so much. I never really thought about pets communicating, but it'll definitely make me be a little bit more open to some of my pets that I had as a kid. Who knows? Maybe they've been communicating. I've just not paid attention the whole entire time.
Angel didn't want to die. She did not want to leave. She could not move. Angel was an American Eskimo. She was kind of a runt of the litter. She did not want to leave. My mother had to put her down. She couldn't get up. She couldn't eat. But she did not. You could tell in the look on her face. She did. She's like, no, 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 no. I'm staying. I'm staying. I love these people. She just didn't want to leave.
So, Andrew, watch your other cats, because if they're staring at what appears to be nothing, it may be a cat spirit visiting, knowing that you have quite a few of them on the other side. And they don't necessarily have to be on the floor level. Sometimes spirits don't need to stand on anything. So they can be a little up above. But again, they can hear them and see them. And sometimes cats will get freaked out, like dogs, by looking at spirit because there's no scent.
Oh, that makes sense.
A lot of energy to be visible or to be audible by the spirit, but they can't also do scent because it requires a lot of energy.
Okay, definitely.
Sometimes pets will freak out if someone's visiting in spirit and they can't smell them.
That makes sense.
Right. Anything else you want to ask them?
No, I'm good.
You good?
I think I'm good.
All right, cool.
Thank you so much. I've learned so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to both of you. You're both such fun to talk to.
Well, thanks.
They always say this, and it's like, hey, you want to do a guest appearance again? No.
Oh, you haven't asked either.
I'm always screwing around. Anyway, all right. So I guess that's it. I don't know. What do you got?
I think it's good.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Andrea and I need your help. If you like our episodes, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Not sure exactly how that helps us, but it does, and it makes people want to listen. When they see that 5 stars and a good review from you, so go to wherever you're listening to your podcasts, Apple iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever, and hit that 5 stars.